anoint you with oil, and God will see you. So Lord, we thank you. God, we call upon you, Jesus, for every spoken and unspoken need. Lord, in your holy name, we pray.
Holy name, Jesus. God a hand clap of praise as you're seated. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We have some announcements, and the ushers are going to come and take our tithe and our offering, and that will be out of your way. We're going to get moving back into the presence of God. We have our coffee room that has t-shirts for sale, and all proceeds will go back into the church. And we also have a drawing going on that if you buy a coffee, your name will be entered into the drawing to win a Bible. So make sure you are entered into that. And also always just raising money for the church is always a good thing. And we have tonight, we're going to be ministered to by the Davis family again. We enjoyed the ministry this morning. Amen. Excited for what God is going to do tonight as well. On the 14th, we have our men's outing that's going to be to Texas Roadhouse. Sign-up sheet is in the foyer for that. Also on the 29th will be our Jams Kids Rally. So get with Sister Victoria.
I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me.
I'm a little tired of the devil's care, keeping me in bondage
spirit of praise moving in this house. We're not moving out of the spirit of praise, but we have been, the ground has been broken. As we have sacrificed and have given of our flesh, we have sacrificed and broken the hollow ground. And we've laid aside our pride, and we've laid aside our weariness, and we've laid aside everything that has come against us and sacrificed it as praise and as worship in obedience to what God has called us to do. And everything that has breath, praise you, the Lord. And we have done that. And when you do that, the soil in your spirit begins to be ready for a word to be planted in your heart. And so, Davis family, come on up here. Praise God. We hear it a lot whenever a minister comes to the pulpit to take your liberty. Take your liberty. Take your liberty. Don't let him be the only one that takes liberty in the house. But there where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty. Take your liberty as he takes his liberty, and let's move into victory tonight in Jesus' name.
Come on, let's put our hands together for the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I was thinking the day after church, after about died up here this day, worshiping, that what we ought to get in Pentecost churches is praise recovery stations. Yes. Have an IV drip just sitting outside. You can just plug in and come back up in this mug and have some more church, amen. Now, some of you used to go to the club, and you used to do the worm, and you didn't care who saw you, what they said, or what they did. But something happens when we get Jesus, we get all dignified. And sometimes it'd be good to shake the bobby pins out, the coats go sideways, tie look like that. Well, that's old school. I was born in the fire, and I pray I die in the fire. So sometimes you may see somebody do like this. You may see a helicopter. You may see a Pentecostal twirl. You may see hair do this. Hear me, folks, the rock world got that from the Pentecostal church. We've been headbanging long before AC/DC came out, baby. Long before it was Hell's Bells, it was Heaven's Triumphant Choir. Hallelujah. I wish somebody take 30 seconds and give God praise like he done set you free. Come on, Pentecostal church. He's been mighty good to you. Let me address that old spirit. We talked about it a little bit this morning, but we didn't go into detail that before you ever heard, well, Pentecostals, they just crazy people who act all wild and nuts. And if you go there, you may get hit in the head. You may get your shoes stomped on. Let me just help you. Praise, exuberant praise, predates Pentecost. Long before Jesus spoke about what we talked about this morning, the wind, the spirit moving, and you can't see it, but you can see the effects. Long before that, I heard the word say, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Long before Peter started preaching and the upper room started happening, I heard the psalmist said, oh, clap your hands, all you people. I read over in the New Testament where it said, if you want some joy, sometimes you gotta leap for it. Sometimes you gotta do something that ain't cool. Well, my friends may think I'm a fool. That's okay. I'd rather be a fool for Jesus in a day. Come on, somebody. I've told our church for years, this is the only house I give myself permission to lose my mind. This is it. I'm
not trying to hype you up. I'm trying to encourage you that God picked you up off the bottom. He put a song in your spirit.
Well, it feels good. You know, church should be a happy place. I said it this morning, this ain't no graveyard now.
Right, right.
If it is, we in big trouble. And this is a place where people still get up out of their grave of despondency, out of their grave of hopelessness. And what I love about the kingdom, it is for whosoever will. What I love about the kingdom, it don't matter the color of your skin. It don't matter if you're broke or you're rich. Everybody gets in on this thing. Wow. What a God. What an honor it is to be here today. And I don't really have much of a voice. So with what voice you got, I ask you to lend that tonight. You know, there's two anointings. It's not Bible, but it preaches good. There is a preacher's anointing, but the preacher moves a whole lot better if the pew's moving too. Amen. Amen. It's not about performance. Amen. We're not here to perform. We're not here to be something that we're not. We just want to be what God called us to be. Amen. And what God called us to be first, hear me. Before you ever got called into the ministry, before you ever had a role in any church, before you ever became a saint of God, when he called you into this thing, he called you for one reason. He's seeking for people to worship him in spirit and in truth. When you get to heaven, won't be no preachers, won't be no good singers, won't be no good prayer warriors. It's just going to be a bunch of praisers. And when I get there, God, I feel glory. I want to do like the elders do. And they took their crowns, the Bible said, and they put it at his feet. And those elders who have been for 24/7 crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I want to join that chorus one day. So before I get there, Brother Carol Magruder said it years ago, I believe it was him, that this is just a dressing room for eternity. I'm just warming up. I'm telling you, if you think my praise offends you, you don't want to be up there. Amen. God have mercy. What a delight it is to be here with you sweet folks. Isn't God so good? Amen. God bless you for being here on a Sunday night. And again, I won't make too many preliminary remarks, but I want to say what an honor it is to be here. My wife, our kids, we love and appreciate this church. And more importantly, I'd be remiss not to again tonight say how much I love and appreciate Pastor and Sister Meyer and the inevitable impact they have had on my life over the last 17 years of being introduced to the Parrish family. And I'm so thankful for his life and his legacy. Well, the praise team, no one told them. I didn't text somebody before service and tell them, this is the message. Please sing something like this. Because the Holy Ghost don't need stuff like that.
Right.
He just needs you to get in the vein of the Spirit and flow with it. This morning, we ended the service a little bit, what I'm going to preach about, stomping on the devil's head a little bit. But we talked about the necessity in 2025 to be empowered by the Spirit to go everywhere, every day, and just tell about what Jesus did for you. It's important you hear what I'm going to say right now. God can give you power. God can give you anointing. You can have this great desire to do great things for God. But the adversary is a master of getting in on people's lives and overwhelming them with pressures and doubts and unbeliefs and fears. And now all of a sudden, what once used to be a voice that wanted to be lent to God is hiding somewhere in a corner, praying, God, will I ever get out of this thing? And I'm going to tell you tonight in the Holy Ghost, I ain't a prophet, but I know what I feel. It is the will of God for you to have spiritual dominion,
yes,
and authority,
yes,
over every power,
yes,
of the enemy. That is God's will. It's 6:37. You have to work tomorrow. Kids got school unless you have spring break. Y'all got spring break this week? God, we ain't got to end church tonight. We just go all night long. Ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party. Genesis chapter 1. And the old folks said, yeah, you've lost your mind, son. I mean elders, great people of God. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth. Would you mind reading that with me, the next part? And over every
creeping thing that creeps on the earth.
I want to preach to you on that thought tonight. Even the creeping things. Even the creeping things. Can we pray? Lord, I love you so much. Thank you for this wonderful group of believers. God, I realize I'm nothing without you. I'm just a vessel, God. I don't want nothing in my heart and my spirit to stop the flow. I pray, forgive us if we failed you, God. Let there be a free flow of the Holy Ghost. I'm nothing without you, Jesus. I need you more than ever before. God, we're preaching to folks tonight, just like me, who face real life struggles. I pray in the name of Jesus that the angel of the Lord be in this house tonight, God, to increase faith, confidence, and strength. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody said amen. Would you clap your hands one more time, the Lord, before you're seated? God bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word. Amen. Thank you, praise team. Wow, what an anointing. Praise God. Even the creeping things. God is speaking here in Genesis chapter 1, and he's speaking to the future of Adam, Eve, and humanity that would come, and that would include our future. For we are also made, the Bible says, in his image. And he speaks, the Lord does, that man would have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle that roam the earth. And at the outset of Scripture, God is establishing man as the ruler of the earth. The psalmist would write so beautifully in Psalms chapter 8, verses 4 through 8. He would say, what is man that you're mindful of him? The son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you've crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put, everyone said all things, you have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. God set an order from the beginning of creation that man was to have dominion over every creature that roams the earth. These creatures would be afraid of man due to the nature that God put in these animals to fear man. And man, through his dominion over the earth, would be able to capture, to tame these beasts and cause them to do whatever they wanted them to do. It really does date all the way back to creation that God established it and God set it in motion. And I feel this at the outset of this message, that if God ever begins it, if God ever starts something, there isn't the devil, there isn't anybody that can stop what God wants to do. Paul said, if God begins a good work, he will complete it. But not only did God give man dominion over the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, the cattle that roam the fields, but it says at the end of Genesis 1:26, something so interesting to me, that he said he also gave dominion to man over every creeping thing. Now, creeping things in the Bible, they're those, they say, that typically crawl, that slither, that move close to the ground. They're generally small in size, and their habitat, they're often found in low, concealed, or dark places. Although some may be active in the daylight, and I don't know about you, but I'm not a big fan of creeping things. And when God speaks of this in Genesis 1:26, some of the creeping things that he's speaking of are cockroaches, ants. You may not pay attention to ants, but just go weed eat for about 30 minutes and step in an ant pile, and you'll pay attention real quick. There's creeping things among you and under your feet, and you'll shout like you ain't shouted in years. Sometimes it'd be great to turn ants loose in church. I believe that, amen. And so that's a part of a creeping thing. There's cockroaches, there's
ants, there's beetles, there's scorpions he's speaking of here, there's spiders, there's lizards, there's snakes, there's mice, rats, worms, snails, all of which I don't like, and they won't be in heaven. Thank God for that. And what's interesting about the creeping things in the natural is that many of these creeping things that I just listed to you, they prefer darkness to avoid detection. Many of these creeping things, they tend to even thrive in the darkness or in the hidden environments. Many of these creeping things that I listed, they do their best hunting even in the darkness. Many of these species of creeping things, it's the dark of night that serves as a shield around them. This protective cover, it allows them to move and to hunt more safely, ensuring that their survival and their ability to thrive in their habitats. And God said at the outset of creation, I've given man dominion even over the creeping things. God said, I've given dominion to man over the things that typically do their best work in the night hour. I've given man dominion over even the creeping things. Now, I must remind you that it's not an accident that the God of heaven begins creation by laying the foundation and establishing at the outset that man has dominion over every creation of the earth, even the creeping things. Because God, if you study the word of the Lord, he often uses the natural things to parallel spiritual truths throughout his word. So again, it's not accident that during Jesus' ministry here on earth, he came, if you study the Bible, to restore man back into right standing, because the scripture says the first Adam messed it all up for us in the garden. So Christ became that second Adam. He came to restore what mankind had messed up, and he did this through his sacrifice on Calvary's hill by his blood being shed for you. Aren't you thankful for that? It is no accident that while he was establishing his kingdom, while he was showing and teaching his disciples how the kingdom of God on earth should look, it's not an accident that before he ever established the church in the book of Acts, before the Apostle Peter ever preaches the first message on Pentecost on what a man and a woman must do to be saved, before Peter and John ever went to that gate and passed by that lame man at the gate called Beautiful and he was healed, long before any of that, long before the Apostle Peter ever preaches to the Gentile people that this same experience we've received, you can receive, long before that, Jesus, who is God, manifest in the flesh, he established what he did at the outset of creation in the natural, and he takes it a step farther to give us spiritual parallels and truth, and this is what he tells his disciples in Luke chapter 10. He said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven, and here we go. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents, on scorpions, and over all power of the enemy. Hear this right now, someone in the Holy Ghost, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I feel it in my spirit. Everybody said nothing. Nothing that is coming against you, nothing that you feel in your mind was sent to destroy you. He said nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now watch this. Notwithstanding, don't rejoice about that. Don't rejoice that you got power over the devil. We pray and pray for hours. God, give me power, give me victory. He said, don't rejoice over that. That should just come natural to you. He said, but rather you should rejoice because your names, they're written in heaven. Jesus said, I want to establish this right here, right now, just as I did in the natural for Adam and mankind at the beginning of natural creation. I granted them dominion over the natural things of the earth, even the creeping things. But I'm going a step further to tell you that just as I did for them in the natural, I'm granting you spiritual power to have dominion over the creeping things of the spirit. I'm granting you power to have dominion over all power of the enemy, and it won't be able to hurt you. Jesus said, I'm granting you power over the creeping spirits that like to hide in darkness, those spirits that thrive and prey in the darkness of fear, those spirits that tell you that there is no light at the end of the tunnel. I want to preach tonight and tell this great church, this great group of believers, that through Christ, through Jesus, you have apostolic dominion and authority and power over all the power of the enemy, even the creeping things. But I want to remind you and tell you that before any nation goes to war with a foreign enemy in the natural, they must prepare. They must know the battle plan, and most importantly, they must know the enemy they are up against. And the same it is in the spirit. You don't just go to war with the devil, but you go in prepared. You know the enemy that you're fighting, and before you ever take dominion over the creeping things in your life, you have to obey what the Apostle Paul said. Just stay with me a few minutes. Paul said in Ephesians 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up, everyone said, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand, to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. He said, before you go to war, you better make sure you have some things in order. Before you take dominion, before you take authority over the adversary, over these creeping things, you better have the belt of truth. What is that? I'll run through it real fast. The belt of truth, you always got to be honest and truthful. You have to have the breastplate of righteousness. Always do what is right and good. You have to have the shoes of the gospel of peace. Be ready, as we talked about this morning, to share God's love and peace with others. Have that shield of faith. Trust in God to protect you from bad things. Have that helmet of salvation. Remember that Jesus saves you and he keeps you safe. Have that sword of the Spirit, that word of God. Use that word if need be to fight against the spirits of hell. And finally, you better pray. And you better not just pray, but Paul said you better pray in the Spirit. The scripture says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, of a righteous lady, it availeth much. What's that mean? Sometimes you got to get in the carpet, you got to turn off the lights, you got to close the blinds and say, I ain't leaving until another world touches my body.
And if you have these in proper place, you're now ready for battle. And you're now ready to take dominion over the creeping thing. Jesus said the thief, the creeping thing, he only comes for three things. Steal, kill, destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And God has given you the dominion, hear me tonight, over the creeping thing that has attached itself to your mind, to your spirit, to your home, to your finances, and even to your family. And the reason I've read all these scriptures, and sometimes in church that may seem boring, but there's a reason, there's a method to the madness. One thing the devil hates is to be exposed by the word of God. Why, preacher? Because he thrives in the darkness of night. He thrives in prayerless and praiseless environments. And when the light of God's word begins to shine in the darkest corners, it makes him nervous and he knows his time is up. So my goal tonight for the next 15-20 minutes is to address the creeping things in the spirit and to key in and to prayerfully, I pray that you'll allow your faith to reach out and grab a hold of that unseen hand. And when we leave this house,
house tonight, you can step out of the shadows of darkness that the enemy has tried his best to keep you in for so many years.
So the first couple of creeping things I want to deal with is the creeping things I call doubt and unbelief. It's that creeping spirit. He's a master at sowing small seeds of doubt about God's promises. And even his existence. Is it really real? If he loved me, why did this happen? If he really loves me, why would he allow this? And that small seed. And if I give it room to grow, it can begin to grow. And in turn, weaken my faith. And we know, hear me, that heaven and hell are after one thing in a believer's life. They're after your faith. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, this morning was great and we need those services, but the devil ain't freaked out per se when you shout and dance. What he's after is your faith, because within your faith is the birthplace for the miraculous. No wonder Jesus told Peter, Simon, Simon, Peter has desired to sift you like wheat. What's he say next? But I prayed for you, Bubba. What'd you pray about, Jesus? I prayed for your faith that it fail not. Scripture says, if we ask in faith, not doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. And it is, you hear me tonight, the will of God on this Sunday night, if your mind has been overcome by the creeping thing called doubt and unbelief, it is the will of God. I don't care what the devil says, what people say. It is the will of God for you to get your faith back. It is the will of God for you to start believing again. God has given you the power through the Holy Ghost to take dominion even over the creeping things. Now, I ain't nowhere near ready to be, but I got to say something right here. That old man, Peter, I love Peter because Peter's a lot like me in that. So there's days he wants to chokehold people. There's days he wants to cuss. Come on, Apostle. Well, I don't do stuff like that. Just keep on living a little bit. There'll come a day when you want to throat chop people and do some crazy stuff too. And Peter is all over the place. Study the scripture. His emotions are wild. I mean, he's on high, then he's on low. He's high, then he's low. And the Bible says that the Lord spoke to Peter and said, you'll deny me this night 3 times before that rooster crows in the morning. And Peter did what we all do. Not I. I never deny you. I'd even die with you. Okay, Peter, just keep on living. Just hang on. And the Bible says, sure enough, when Jesus got arrested, Peter deserts him. We find him at a fire. He starts cussing people out. I don't believe it. I was never with him. It's not me. And just over and over. And this guy is the guy that God gave the keys to the kingdom to. And the Bible says, when that rooster crowed at that morning hour, that when Peter heard it, his mind instantaneously went back to the words of Jesus. Now follow me now. And the Bible says, when he heard it, he left, he went away, he wept bitterly. Now you stay with me. For 3 days, hissing spirits of doubt and unbelief are sitting on Peter's doorstep. 3 days, Peter is in the deepest, darkest valley of despair that you could imagine. And in those 3 days, Peter begins, I am very sure because I've been there and it's in between the lines. He begins to doubt, man, does God really love me? I feel like my fire is gone. I'm beat down spiritually. Did he really call me to the ministry, or was I just hearing stuff? Was that just me? But on the flip side of the story, what Peter doesn't understand, and he has no idea it's happening. It's been 3 days. It's early Sunday morning, and there's been something happening in the graveyard, and he who was dead is alive and full of power, and here comes these two Marys to anoint the body of Jesus with oil. And the Bible says when they got there, they noticed the stone was gone, and when they peeked their head in, there was a young man sitting there with white raiment, and he said, the one you're looking for
He got up and left here a little while ago. Here we go. But I want you to do something, Corbin. What he said. He said, you be sure you go tell his disciples and you tell Peter I'm going to meet him in Galilee. Now, this is me. I probably need therapy. That's fine. Whatever. But in my mind's eye, this is what I see. It's what I see. Mary is hoofing it to Peter's house. Peter's sitting alone in a living room, sucking his thumb because my world's about to come to an end. And he hears this. Hey, Pete. Hey, Peter, it's me, Mary. Now, I'm going to be what I would do. Would you shut up? I ain't got time for the church right now. Oh, God, I feel it. I tried it and it didn't work. I stepped out and it didn't work. Oh, God, I feel glory. Oh, somebody hear me right now in the Holy Ghost. I'm talking to somebody right now. You hear me? I tried it. I did my best. And I feel like I've been body slammed, punched in the face, down to nothing. And now all I got is doubt and unbelief. And you're telling me to come to the door? You're telling me to step out of where I'm at? You're telling me I need to talk to you? And Mary, remember, anybody remember Mary Magdalene? She's a lady. If you ever watched The Chosen, it's a great show. She's the lady that's got a bunch of devils in her when Jesus finds her. She knows all about Jesus finding you where you're living. She had seven devils cast out, and man, she's persistent in this thing. Hey, Peter, I got good news for you. And in my mind's eye, I just see Peter think, what good could come out of what I'm at? Where, how can you see good, Mary? Don't you know where I'm living, what I'm going through? Don't you know my back is against the wall? Don't you know I forsook the man called Jesus? And I hear her raise her voice one more time. Peter, you better come to the door. I think I got something you want to hear today. And in my mind's eye, I can see the Apostle Peter, who would be the Apostle Peter, struggle to get to his feet as somebody right now in the Holy Ghost is tonight. You've had a hard time getting to your feet in the Spirit. You've sat down for a long time because the devil's beat your brains in with fear, unbelief, and doubt. And you thought you could never be what you used to be. You thought, I'm just a used up, wasted rag. But I got news for you. God does his best work with old, dirty rags. He does his best work with old, dirty people who felt like I was just a discard. Somebody on the side of the road, and Jesus said, you're the person I came for. You're the individual I came for. Now, this is pretty cool. Everybody said pride. Peter ain't got no more pride. Now, when he was 3 years earlier, and Jesus is telling Peter, thou art Peter. Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. He had so much faith, so much, man, I can do anything. I'm pretty sure he was cocky. He was prideful. I'm the main guy. I'm the capital B believer. You're a bunch of little B believers, and I'm this, and I'm that. I got it all together, and I see him now. He feels like a little B believer. Some of you feel like capital Bs, but you may not be. I don't know. And the Bible says, Peter, or in my mind's eye, he gets up, he goes to the door, and when he opens the door, I can see him. He's not bathed probably in 3 days. His cheeks are tear-stained. His expression is downcast. He feels like this is the end of the world, and when he looks up, to his surprise, Mary's weeping, but she ain't downcast. She ain't sad. Through the tears, she smiles and says, hey, Peter, you ain't going to believe it. But I just left the tomb. And he ain't there. And Peter said, what? He's not there. What are you talking about? I saw the stone. I know you did, Peter. And I know right now you can't think straight. Your mind ain't right. Your spirit ain't a good place. But you hear me? I was there. And there was a young man there. And he said to tell the disciples, Peter, you won't believe it. He called you by name. This is what I believe. Hear me. This is just my belief. I believe God quickened that boy's mind back to the beginning and said at the outset, before I give you the keys to the kingdom, I want you to know something, Peter. I'm giving you power. to tread on serpents and on scorpions and over all power. And I see something shift in Peter and say, if I can get out this door, you'll find me in Galilee. Hear me. And I know he got out the door because the Bible said he was there on the day of Pentecost. And they said, what meaneth this? And Peter said, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, saith the Lord, in the last days I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. So tonight, I know it's a little different. I ain't got a voice, but I'm going to preach somebody in the name of Jesus out of doubt and unbelief, because Jesus, not Brad, I'm nobody, I'm just a vessel, but Jesus came to this house and he's knocking at your door, and I hear him screaming the words in Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, and if he'll get up, and if he'll open the door, I'm going to come in, I'm going to fellowship with him, and he with me. And guess what? If Jesus is in the room, the devil can't be there. If Jesus steps in the room, unbelief has to go. If Jesus comes in the house, doubt's got to go. I wish to God somebody would do this with me right now. You didn't hear me. Let's try it again. I wish somebody would do this right now. That's what you need to do right now. Step out in faith. The old song said, step into the water and wade out a little bit deeper. Holy Ghost, he's standing at the door. He's knocking. If any man hear me, can somebody hear me? I'm trying to get you to shake the cobwebs out of your mind. It's powerful. It's nuts. Stay with me. Hey, Elijah. Why in God's name are you hiding in a cave? You sapsucker, you just called fire down from heaven. You had killed a guy. I sent fire. You killed 850 false prophets. And you let that spirit of fear run you out of town. That creeping thing that you didn't see, it crept up on you in the form of a letter. And old Jezebel said, so help me God, if I don't do to you what you did to my prophets, by this time tomorrow, you'll be a dead man, Elijah. And Elijah went and ran. This is powerful, because the Bible said he was suicidal. The Bible said he wanted to die. And he told God, since I can't kill myself, would you kill me? He was messed up. We find him. God provides supernatural strength. He gets sustenance. He goes 40 days. He's in a cave. And the question comes, what are you doing here, Elijah? Ready? Watch me now. When the creeping thing of fear, unbelief, and doubt sets in, all of a sudden, just like Moses, you line the walls with excuses. Well, watch how prideful he was. I'm the only guy left that ain't bowed a knee to Baal. And I hear the creeping things hissing and laughing. That's right. You're all by yourself. You're nobody. You should be an island to yourself. Ain't no sense in being connected to the body. And the Bible says, God being patient and being merciful, he asked him again, hey, dummy. You can say what you want to say. That's how God talks sometimes, I believe. What you doing here? Don't you know I'm by myself? I'm hiding out. I'm trying to escape. Unbelief and doubt has raped my faith. Bible said stones came, earthquake came, fire came. God wasn't in that. And finally the Lord knows. He always knows how to get to you. He spoke to him in a still, small voice. And the Bible said when he did, Elijah wrapped himself in the mantle. He stood up. Watch this. He stood up. Watch me now. When he got to the mouth of the cave, God didn't wait for him to get out. God didn't wait for him to have it all together. When he got in the right position, God spoke and said these words. Hey, guess what? There's a widow in Zarephath. I've commanded her to provide for you. There's a king named Jehaziel. He's not been anointed yet. And there's also a young man named Elisha. He's waiting for you, preacher, to get out of the cave. And by the way, since you're so prideful, I'm going to kick you in the teeth. There's 7,000 people in Israel who ain't bowed a knee to Baal. Hear me right now. When he got to the mouth, that's when God spoke direction. And some of you in this house, the Holy Ghost ain't waiting for you. I felt it this morning. I feel it again tonight. He's not asking perfection out of you. He's asking you head in the right direction. And he said, if you'll just get up from where you are, if you'll just stand up and make up in your mind, I've been so bound by unbelief and doubt. I've been so consumed by these creeping things that I started believing the lie. As a matter of fact, I forgot the promises God gave me. I've replaced them with all these doubts. But the Lord sent me to tell you tonight, you better put your foot on the neck of the devil and step to the mouth of the cave and get out of that thing. It's the will of God for you to take dominion over the creeping things. Let me just address this other spirit. I talked about it a little bit, but it's that creeping thing called fear and anxiety. Fear and anxiety can cripple you in spirit. I never forget, when I was a little bit of a boy, until I was in my young 20s, mid-20s, I felt a heavy spirit of fear. I never forget going and preaching at churches, and the Holy Ghost has used me at times to pray for others with fear, and I've seen God set somebody free, and I'm still wrestling. What I learned is this, though. When Paul told Timothy, Hey, Timothy, you need to know something, son. I didn't give you the spirit of fear. I'm going to say that again. I didn't give it. And if I didn't give it, it has to have a source from somewhere, and it's called a creeping thing. I can't stand a creep. And some of you have been sleeping with the creeps. Some of you have been sleeping with fear and anxiety, and you respond to every situation in fear and in anxiety. You clam up, you get scared to death, you have panic attacks. I know I'm preaching right now. I feel opposition, but the devil ain't going to live tonight, because there's something about the Word of God. When it gets to a heart, it can tell you, you don't have to live that way no more. You don't have to be that way no more. You can get up tonight, and you can put your foot on the neck of the devil and say, I will not live with you one more night. I will not let you infiltrate my mind. Oh God, I felt it this morning. I feel it tonight. You hear me, a mom and a dad. What you do not defeat now, what you do not conquer, it's coming for the next generation. What you do not take care of right now, it'll find you as susceptible. It'll try its best to infiltrate your babies. So somewhere up in your life, there's got to be a Joshua who say, I'm drawing a line in the sand. And as for me and my house, there won't be no creeping things up in here. As for me and my house, there won't be no fear up in here. As for me and my house, there won't be no unbelief in here. I wish I had a daddy and a mama that would say in the spirit, I'm drawing a line. You've tried to attack, oh God, you've tried attacking my babies, and that's the last night you do it. I don't know how you feel. I'm not some super spiritual dude. I don't see angels. I don't see devils. God don't always speak to me. But I had a unique situation happen some years ago. Never will forget it. London was about 3 or 4 years old. And something happened. I don't know what it was. We were in the middle of a great harvest at the church we're at now. And we had doubled the church. God had blessed. God had, we didn't. God doubled the church. He had blessed it. He had multiplied it. And in the middle of that revival, that spirit of fear, like he always does, he came out of hiding, and he jumped on top, not of me, but of my kid. I'll never forget. Jenna called me that night. I said, man, she said, something's wrong with London. Her heart rate is in the roof. When I walked in the house, I could see her pulse literally jumping out of her neck nonstop like this. I thought, oh, God, what's happened? I have a good friend, a cardiologist, nurse practitioner. I called Chip. I said, Chip, what do I do? He said, well, keep an eye on it. Take it to a pediatric doctor, whatever, if it keeps it up. When I got off the phone, again, not all things are spiritual, okay? Some folks over-spiritualize everything, and half the time it ain't even the devil, okay? But on this night, I called a good friend of mine, Pastor Bernardini, Sanctuary Mont Bellevue. I said, man, I see you. I had to pray. I said, my baby. I said, I don't know what's going on, but something's happening. This is what he told me. He said, Brad, that's an attack of the enemy. Now, hear me what I'm going to say. I'm very careful what I'm about to say because some folks can take this wrong. He said, Brad, he said, you need to go in your house, get some oil, anoint your doors. He said, and just pray a covering over your property. He said, ask God to send angels right now to cover your property. Ask God to walk and to patrol, if you will, your property. I believe God's always with us, but take authority. Now, I ain't going to lie. I didn't have much dominion. I operated in obedience. I said, God, I don't know what to do, what to say, but I bind these spirits. Whatever this creeping thing is, I command it to go. Get off my baby. Whatever's happened, I ask you, God, send angels, whatever you got to do. I walked in her room, and she was asleep. Just 2 or 3 minutes later, it was jumping out of her neck. When I walked in the room, everything was perfect like it was supposed to be. That's been 3 years ago. It ain't happened again since. What I'm saying, hear me, what I'm saying is this, is some of you ain't realizing what you got working up inside of you. I know that ain't proper grammar, it ain't proper English, but it's right in Texas. Some of you don't realize what you got working up inside of you, and the Holy Ghost is trying to tell you. I mean, let me ask you this, moms. If somebody messes with your kid, you'll go Madea like that. If you don't know Madea, well, Google her. But you'll lose your mind. If somebody messes with my baby in the physical, we're going to have trouble after church. Why? Because I'll fight for what I love. I'll do whatever it takes to protect mine. And some of you in the spirit, God is looking for some parents to get that same spirit and say, you ain't touching my babies. You ain't touching my kids. I'll pray until it breaks. I'll fast until God kicks your hide out of here. I'll do whatever it takes to get my babies where they have to be. Why? Because I'm the sole responsible person until they leave that house. Well, that ain't my notes, but it's right anyways. God wants you to have dominion. Everyone said dominion over fear, over anxiety. And I want to get deep right here. And it's God's will for you to have dominion and authority over the creeping thing called bitterness and unforgiveness. It's the will of God for you to take that harboring spirit of hate and anger. They did this to me. They hurt me. They hurt my kids. I'll never forgive them. I hate them. I can't stand them. I wanted to murder them sometimes. And God said, I want you to take that creeping spirit because like a cancer, it's eating you alive. Like a cancer, when you see them, all you get is that hot feeling of rage and anger. And the Lord said, that's just the spirit that's been sent to try to destroy you. You better put your foot on its neck and say, not in my house. I refuse to let my kids get poisoned by bitterness, by unforgiveness. I choose to step through that door. Scripture says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you. I'm going to bring it to a close. We're going to end a little different tonight. I realize that. But just stay with me. And it's the will of God for you to take dominion and authority over the creeping things called complacency and apathy. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about people, I've been there, who become spiritually lazy or indifferent. It can lead to a weakened faith, hear me right now, and vulnerability to sin. Jesus said these words, I know your works. You're not cold and you're not hot. He said, I would that you were one of these. Because if you're not careful, if you're lukewarm, he will spew you out of his mouth. Hear me. Revival highs. Great services. We're going to have a great altar call. God's going to move. I know you don't think that right now, but it's going to happen in a few minutes. God's going to move in this house. But the Holy Ghost, when he sends a harvest, when he puts a fire in your belly, if you will, and you want to go tell everybody you know, whatever, that's fine and great. The devil is not so scared about that if he knows he's got you locked up in a prison. I never forget, I may have told this story here, if I did, forgive me. Never forget when I was in the throes of depression, I was down, I mean, it was bad. Never forget my wife. I told her, you got to pray for me. I said, man, I can't escape it. I can't seem to get out of this prison I was in. Lots of it was my own making, and I just couldn't escape the despair of it. I never forget this. I read a story of Houdini and how he was the master. He could get out of any straitjacket, any lock, any handcuff, whatever. And the story says that they told him, Houdini, there's a jail over in Europe that you can't escape that one. And Houdini, being the man that he was and a competitive spirit, he left for the United States and went to Europe. And when he got to the jail, they put him in prison, put him in the jail, put him in a straitjacket, handcuffed his hands. In a matter of minutes, he was free of the straitjacket, the handcuffs, and he was working on the lock. He worked for hours, and like I'm doing right now, he was sweating because he couldn't get the door to open. He worked, he worked, he worked, and nothing happened. And finally, in disgust, Houdini gave up. He said, I can't pick the lock. And the jailer came to the door, and he opened the door. He said, son, you've been trying to open a door that was already unlocked. All you had to do was push it open. And on that morning, my wife called me at the church. I was praying, and I was Peter that day. And she said, I don't know why. And she don't always say the Lord says, but if she does, my antennas go up. The Lord said, like Houdini, God's already opened the door, but you won't walk out. You keep on going back in it every time and closing it behind you. You've got to get out of the door. And when you step out, don't you go back in that door. And I'm telling you, hear me, somebody in the Holy Ghost tonight, you've been inside of a prison for a long time, and the Holy Ghost has unlocked that door, and you, God, I feel it here, and you fought regret, you fought doubt, you fought bitterness, you fought hate, you fought jealousy, you fought anger, you fought murder in your heart, you fought malice, and the Lord said, I've already opened that door for you on Calvary. I've already gave you all the keys you need. I'm trying to tell you, you better step out of the door, lest that prison become a grave. Whatever you do, don't stay in the door that God has put before you, and if you'll hear me, oh, I feel it, if you'll step out of that door, your family ain't far behind you. If you'll step out of that door of unforgiveness, those that, oh God, that you thought would never come home, they're going to come home again when they see the change inside of you, mama. When they see the change inside of you, daddy, you've got to take authority over the creeping things. Let's all stand tonight. It is the will of God. The music would come, please. It is the will of God for you to rise above every creeping thing that is trying to hold you hostage, that's trying to hold you back. The adversary does not want me to expose this tonight. Why? Because he wants to live like he's always lived in the dark corners of your mind. I've preached this over and over. When Nehemiah went home to rebuild the wall, the Bible says in Nehemiah 4, and I'll say the time tonight, the Bible says in Nehemiah 4, 7 through 9, you can read it, that when he got home, the first thing he did was he repaired the breaches, the Bible says. He repaired the cracks in the wall. Study the Bible, because the verse in Nehemiah 4 says these words, when Sanballat, Tobiah got word that he had repaired the places nobody could see, the Bible said they all became so angry, and this is what it says, and they all conspired against him. They said, we don't care if you have a Sunday morning high. You hear me? I'm not knocking. I love them. But we don't care. As long as you go home tonight and get back in your cave. We don't care if you run, if you dance, if you shout, if you scream, if you speak in tongues until you're about to die. We don't care. But whenever you make up your mind, fear has lived in my mind and my family for generations. Addiction, that creeping thing of addiction has come on top of me for years. And tonight, hear me, I feel in the Holy Ghost, somebody, you better step out of faith. And tonight, I'm fixing to close that crack up in the wall. And when you do, the adversary is going to be so mad. He's going to be so angry. How could you ever close up where I've been living? I've been there for so many years. I've had you hostage. Why would you get rid of me now? You've been comfortable with me. I'm going to tell you why. Because I am sick. Hear me, somebody. Somebody in this house, I know it. I am sick and tired of you putting your foot on my neck. And I come in this house and I feel breakthrough. But on Monday, I feel cursed. I feel like the weight of the world's on top of me. And I wonder, if God loved me, he'd just set me free. Remember what I'm going to tell you. Victory, deliverance, does not happen like that sometimes. Case in point, the Lord tells Israel, you're going to the Canaan land. It flows with milk and honey. Anybody knows what happens when they cross the Jordan River? Jericho. I thought it was going to be easy. Anybody know what happens at Jericho? There's a man there who can't, he has a real problem with his spirit. It's a creeping thing. He steals some Babylonian garments, a little bit of gold, and God gets pretty mad. They go to Ai, it's battle. It's supposed to be victory land, promised land, and they're fighting. And they all start dying. Anybody know why they died? Because the creeping thing wasn't took care of. I've seen victories that people could have had, but they couldn't take care of the creeping thing, so therefore it kept on rising up and tearing them back down time after time. The Bible says that day Joshua, here we go, I'm done. Joshua had a prayer meeting, Corbin. He had a prayer meeting. He got on his knees and said, God, what do we got to do? And the Lord said, there's a creeping thing in the house. It ain't been dealt with. You better deal with that spirit, because if you don't deal with it, there's going to be more who die because of this. And the Bible says he lined them up one by one, tribe by tribe. And here comes Brother Achan. It's me. I'm the one. I messed up. I made a mistake. I failed. I took it. Watch what the Bible says. The Bible says not only did he destroy Achan, but he took care of any roots that was there as well. Family, kids, everybody died that belonged to Achan. Why? Because if you don't take care of those things, they'll last forever. What starts as a small menace today will turn a monster in about 3 or 4 years if you ain't careful. I can handle it. I know you can, but your kids can't. I can take it. I know you can take it, but they can't. And that creeping thing of addiction that wakes you up 3 and 4 in the morning, pulling for you to a computer screen, that creeping thing of fear, of doubt, of unbelief, it keeps you pressed down and you have a hard time even lifting your hands in the house of God. The Lord said on this Sunday night at 7:25, tonight is up to you. I'm not talking about just stepping out of pew, but stepping out in the spirit and saying after tonight, I'm finished with you. Israel did get their victory. They did get the promised land. They did get what God gave them. But victory came with a price. And for you tonight, my friend, we're all headed to a place called heaven. We're all in this great, beautiful place called earth. And as we go along, God says there's things, creeping things, that even get a hold of good, meaning people. And tonight, my challenge to you as we close is for you to come tonight. We'll all come together if that's okay, if you feel comfortable. We're going to come tonight, and if you find yourself, it doesn't mean you're backslid, doesn't mean you're a bad person, doesn't mean you're wrong. No, it just means, God, I've been bound up by a creeping thing. And when you step out tonight, it's going to be a sign of faith that I'm done with this. Let's pray, Lord. I know I'm nothing. I'm nobody. Lord, there's people in here just like me who have fought creeping things for so many years. And tonight, like Peter, you stand at the door and you knock. God, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray against the spirit of opposition. Devil, I bind you by the authority of the word of God and the power of the name of Jesus. I curse that wicked spirit that says, I'll live for forever. You are a liar from the pit of hell. Right now, in the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus is against you, devil. I want to open these altars, and I would there be a spirit of consecration in this house.
God, I've let some things go in my spirit, but I'm about to reconsecrate to you tonight. I've let the creeping things come in my mind. I've let carnal desires, I've let my appetite be wet for the world. But God, I'm asking you to move the creeping thing tonight. Come on, Paris. Come on, Paris. This may not be for everybody, but it could save somebody tonight who's been wrestling with the creeping things. Come on, somebody. Pour your heart out to God right now. Come on, Paris. He's giving you the victory. He's giving you the victory. He's giving you the victory. Come on, Paris. God, every addiction, give God every fear, every anxiety, every unbelief, every doubt.
Nothing between you and me, I need you to break through.
Come on, somebody, push yourself tonight. Come on, push yourself tonight. Come on, like Nehemiah, repair the cracks in the wall. I'm protecting my family. I'm protecting my legacy.
Break through the crowd, break through the shame.
I think it'd be good if we did one more thing before we're dismissed tonight. You've heard this all your life, no doubt, but you literally never know who's standing beside you.
Jesus.
And what it is they're fighting, what it is they're battling with, what it is that's going on in their spirits. We did this morning in celebration, but tonight I think it'd be good connecting to a brother, connecting to a sister if it's appropriate. I want you to find somebody, and I want you to pray like you know how to pray, all right? I don't want you to be fake. I want you to pray for your sister, pray for your brother. We're in this thing together.
Yes.
And what the adversary hates more than anything is when people get in one mind and one accord and say, not the creeping thing, not in my house, not in my brother's life, not in my sister's life. I want you to pray for them like you're praying for you right now. When you needed God to set you free, you prayed until God broke it. Come on, I want you to pray in the spirit right now. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Right now. Come on, Paris. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost right now for your brother, for your sister. I speak life and not death. I speak resurrection and not a grave. I speak hope and not defeat. I speak freedom and not bondage. I speak joy tonight. Dismissed tonight, this is what I want you to do. If you're still with somebody, you do it together. If not, let's all do this together. We did it a while ago, but I just want you to take a step forward. You with me? Let that be where you step and you never return back to where you were. Let that be you putting your foot on the creeping thing and said, I stood here for the last day and I'm walking out of it tonight. Well, what if I get up tomorrow and there he is? Let me give you some advice. Step on his neck tomorrow. I'm going to take one more step. Well, what if tomorrow and after day, I got a word from the Lord for you. You ready for this? The steps of a good man, they are ordered by the Lord. So everywhere I step, devil, I'm taking up territory. Everywhere I step, it's my family's. It's my legacy. It's my history. Hear me. You are powerful in the spirit. Not prideful, not cocky, not arrogant, but in the spirit. Ain't nothing like seeing an apostolic lady or apostolic man get loose in prayer. Things start happening. Things start moving. Creeping things start leaving. And tonight, we've ran some creeping things out of here. Whatever you do, you hear me, please hear me. I feel it tonight. The enemy, he wants to fight me over, but that's all right. You have to take authority and dominion. We call it in the old school, they'd say something like, I plead the blood. It was an old song. I plead the blood, I plead the blood. Sometimes it's just the typology of Moses in the Old Testament where he applied the blood over the doorpost. And the Bible says when he did, that when the death angel passed over, he would not touch that house if the blood was applied. We know the blood of Jesus was applied to you in baptism when you went down in a watery grave in the name of Jesus. But right now, just for this service, I say this to make a point. You need to plead the blood again. What's that mean? In his blood is protection. In his blood is healing. In his blood is deliverance. In his blood is salvation. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for the move of the Holy Ghost that we felt tonight. Thank you for what you did this morning. Thank you for how you moved among us today, God. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Your goodness leads to repentance, and I thank you for your goodness, and I praise you for it, and I thank you for victory over the creeping thing, and I think it would be good if we gave God praise for giving us victory tonight. Jesus, we love you. We thank you, God, for your power, for your anointing. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. Shake somebody's hand. Lord bless you in the name of Jesus. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.
Never been a moment that you weren't in it. There's never been.